Welcome back to the 1-2 Kentucky Blue Podcast. I am your host, Coach John Spurlock. Thank you so much for tuning in today. My guest today is Gabby Smith. She is currently a performance sports scientist with Bay FC. As you probably know, she's a former Kentucky strength and conditioning coach. I loved catching up with her and her talking through her transition from her old job with KC Current to her new job with Bay FC. As always, I hope you enjoy our conversation. So wanted to kill two birds with one stone today and catch up with you, record an episode, and because you got a new job.
I do. Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Where were you? Give everybody an update where you were once you left Kentucky and then where you are now in your new job title.
Yep. So I left Kentucky to go to the Kansas City Current. And then I'm currently with Bay FC, as an assistant performance specialist. So still in the performance staff. This is actually Bay's first year. So we're an expansion club, but love it so far. Really excited to be out here. Bay Area, California, definitely different, but, like it so far. So
you have gone, and I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but you've gone from Delaware through Kentucky, through yep. KC, and now you're in California. What a change of scenery. What's that?
From Rhode Island. So further and further across the country.
That's crazy. Hey, so what attracted you to this job at Bay FC?
I think there were kind of two main things. The first, I think, was like the opportunity to be part of kind of building something. Like, we're an expansion club, like getting to start fresh and like be a part of something that hopefully grows from here, and kind of have my hand in building a new club, I think, was something that was really exciting and doesn't come along that often. But I think the main thing that kind of was the deal breaker for me was just the people and the culture that they have here. I think last year I learned a lot about myself, and kind of I was thinking back, like we talked about this in one of the staff meetings when I was there, kind of what are your non-negotiables? And I think I learned a lot about my non-negotiables last year. So just talking with the people here, I knew a couple of people beforehand that were part of the club already. And that's what really sold me. I'm like, this is the place that I want to be from now on.
So at the KC Current, you were much more on the sports science side. You still did a little bit of strength and conditioning, like on field stuff. Is that similar setup to what you're doing now?
I have more responsibilities now than I did in Kansas City. I'm still doing all of the sports science stuff, but I think now I have more on-field responsibilities too, where I'll run the warm-up pretty much every day for games and everything like that. A lot more kind of planning in terms of what our sessions will look like in terms of timing of drills, like spacing, that sort of stuff, and just working with the coaches on that sort of thing. But still very heavy in the sports science, helping out in the gym and that sort of stuff as well. So
looking at your all schedule, so you have your first match coming up this Sunday, correct?
This Sunday, yep.
So what's a day in a life look like for you right now? I know as we were trying to schedule this episode, your off days had changed. Like one day it was like a Monday and a Thursday. I think this week you said it was a Monday and a Tuesday today, or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what does a day in a life look like for Gabby Smith right now?
So yeah, our off days kind of change every week depending on what day we play. Sometimes the Friday, some days we play on a Saturday, some days it's a Sunday game. So that kind of dictates what our off days are. But typical day is we'll get in the morning, kind of meet as like a medical and performance group, kind of touch base usually before that point. So the night before, we'll get the session, what the plan is for the session from the coaches. So we'll have that kind of, if medical needs to adjust training for anyone, touch base on that side of things. And then if there's a gym session, anyone needs to be modified, go over that on our end as a staff. And then we'll usually go in straight from that and meet with the coaches if anything's changed in terms of the plan for the session overnight. And then medical will give their update on their side of things if any status has changed overnight. Usually they'll give that at the end of the day too. And then from there, we'll kind of go through the drills. How long do we want to do this? What do we want the field size to be? What do our numbers look like? Because one of the things that's really different from the college side is like we actually get to train, where in college, it's like you play, you play, you play, then you get to train. But like there's so much recovery and you have to have a day off in there. And like here, we can really plan out our training week and have different goals depending on the day and how many days out from a game we are. So that's probably a whole nother podcast that we can go into. But they're, long story short, there are different targets for every day. So just kind of helping the coaches in terms of timing, field size, how we're going to get accomplish what we want to. From there, we'll usually have a little bit of downtime where I can either touch base with players, get any work done that I have to get done, go set up the field. There's usually a team meeting thrown in there in between, and then we'll head out training. I'll run the warm up. We'll have live GPS going the whole time, just kind of making sure we're on track to hit whatever we want to for the day. Then after training, if there's a gym session that day, rolling into the gym. And then kind of at that point, get back to my desk, download all the GPS stuff, see where we were at compared to where we wanted to be. Then we'll go meet with the coaches again, just being like, hey, this is what we actually did. This is what we wanted to get done. Does that have to mean we have to change the plan for tomorrow at all? Okay, what's the plan, rough plan for tomorrow? And just kind of touching base with all of them. Then we'll usually regroup with medical at the end of the day as well. And then kind of by that point, you're pretty exhausted. But just finishing up any other work that you have to get done. And then, yeah.
That seems exhausting. Talk through your performance team. So strength coaches, sports science, even from medical or dietitians, what does it look like?
Yep. So on the performance side itself, it's just myself and the head of performance this year. So I'll do a lot of the on-field stuff. He'll do a lot of the gym and like strength training stuff, and then I'll help him with that. He'll help me with the field stuff. So pretty small.
What's his background? Where was he before this?
He was with the Philadelphia Union last year, okay. Last season, and he's been in MLS for a couple of years before that as well.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of how we've divided things on the performance side. We do have a dietitian as well. She's on site a couple times throughout the year, but she's mostly remote for now. So she can meet with them remotely and then we'll be on site. I think she'll come to a couple of away games as well, but she was with us during preseason. And then on the medical side, we have our director of medical, a head athletic trainer, and an assistant athletic trainer.
I was talking with Ajani Teeler, one of our former volleyball players. Last week we recorded an episode together and she's talking about the setup for professional volleyball on her end, because she's not only in an expansion team, it's an expansion volleyball pro league. So we were talking about, she does have a strength coach, but it seems like he's contracted out through a gym that he works at or owns. I forget exactly what she said, but with the dietitian and even more with the nutrition setup, you know, at UK, Monica has our big fueling station where the athletes can come in and cook. What does it look like for your players?
So the league actually requires you to provide, I think, 2 meals a day. So we'll have breakfast and lunch. In Kansas City, it was actually nice. We had a chef there. Like we had a whole space that they like cooked and like everything was laid out kind of buffet style. Here we'll have, like kind of like a continental breakfast, and then we cater, lunch in for players. So they can grab plates, to-go boxes, kind of whatever they want from that setup. And then we actually, which is nice, we provide meals for like if we trained yesterday and today's an off day, like there will be an extra to-go meal that they can take if they want it for today as well. There's been talks about like HelloFresh or like cooking boxes or something like that as well, if they wanted to kind of look into that as an option and just as extra help from a nutrition standpoint. But that's kind of our setup currently for this year.
Gotcha. Talked a little bit about one of your responsibilities is, you know, downloading GPS, all of that data that you get each practice. Do you guys use Catapult or another system?
We use Catapult this year. Yep.
So we just started using Catapult with our volleyball team here at Kentucky. And guess who's in charge of it, Gabby?
You.
Me and Katie Poole, our athletic trainer, and I have wanted, if I did have hair, I really have wanted to rip my hair out, or rip my beard hair out, trying to get up to speed with it. Man, it was a roller coaster of just trying to navigate that entire system at first. I know you're probably a pro at it, but holy smokes, like I figured out how to map all the units. And then it was like at one point we were going to live monitor one day, but apparently I charged the monitors incorrectly, so none of them were charged. And then we finally figured that out. Then we went to live monitor and I couldn't figure out, I forgot to, link the console I was using with the receiver. And it was a lot of back and forth with me and their tech support. And the tech support for Catapult was great, but holy smokes, that was a little rough patch earlier this semester as I was trying to navigate all that.
We all have our rough patches with Catapult, believe me. It happens to all of us.
Is
So
there anything unique that you're doing now that maybe you weren't doing, or maybe you were doing something different at KC?
we have this cool thing that's called SpeedSig. So it connects with Catapult, which is part of the reason that we have Catapult. But it will look at like the acceleration and deceleration phases of like a bunch of stops and starts, and you can kind of look at like consistency across those. It's kind of like an injury type of or like profiling type of thing, which we have. There's also like you can use it for constant velocity. So if we have people coming back from whatever, like it looks at like running symmetry and like ground contact time and stuff like that. We haven't really been like, because our performance side staff is so small, we haven't really gotten into it that deeply yet. But I think that's something cool that we could look into more kind of as we have more time and hands and everything like that. So I think that's one cool thing that I haven't worked with before, but I think could be something that's really useful to us.
Is there any other more of sports science technology that you guys use, like force plates or anything like that?
We've got it all. We've got force plates, we've got Nord board, we've got the force frame.
What's a force frame? I don't know what a force frame is.
It's another vault thing. It's basically looking at ab strength, so whatever like adductors and abduction strength we use it for mostly. You can also do like shoulder and a bunch of other tests, but that's what we have been using it for so far.
How often are you guys doing like force plate or norboard?
So now that we're in season, we will do Nord board weekly, force frame weekly, and then monthly we'll get like a counter movement jump as well.
Are you kind of leading that charge with looking at that data, or does that fall onto the guy that does a little bit more of the weight room stuff?
Yep, I'll look at all of that and have like dashboards for each of our players, just kind of tracking how they're trending throughout the year.
Yeah. So going back to my struggles with Catapult. So I feel like I'm a master now, not a master. I'm proficient at, the setup of everything, like whether we need to get live monitor at practice. I did live monitoring during our exhibition match for Cincinnati last week. Everything went smooth. But now Katie and I are getting into the weeds of the dashboards and figuring out what we want to look at and all the bells and whistles and the little things you can click on. That's my struggle now.
And that's too. It's like what's important to you, what's important to the coaches, what really matters. Like trying to figure that out is not as easy as it sounds.
And it's all relatively new for the sport of volleyball. So I know Katie is reaching out to, Penn State volleyball. We've talked with a sports scientist at Texas to see what they look at. So it's trying to figure out what everybody else is looking at. And maybe that's important to us and we will figure that out. But it's building the dashboards is going to be something that will probably take me a while. So you might be somebody I reach out to be like, hey,
For
real
sure.
quick, real quick.
Definitely.
Awesome. So you were one of the first people essentially in the world to take the CPSS through the NSCA, and you passed. Do you think, because you have had some great success with, you know, getting hired at Kentucky and then going to KC Current and then with your current position, do you think that has added value to you as a professional and just the way it looks on your resume? Do you think that certification has helped you out?
I think having it and studying for it helped me, because I think like there was a lot in getting ready for the exam that I either learned and forgot or didn't realize, like, oh yeah, that actually is kind of helpful and does connect in this way. Cause I think it connected a lot of kind of more statistical-y things and like procedural things, as well as like how to use kind of data in terms of making it realistic and communicating it with coaches. In terms of having the certification and like the letters after my name, I don't know if it's really helped, to be completely honest. I think I've gotten kind of where I am today without having to really apply for jobs and like submit my resume for a bunch of things where it would kind of make me stand out. I think I have seen a couple of things where like it's one of those, it's not required, but it's like nice if you have like this qualification. But like I said, I haven't really had to apply for things where I think it is being like required at this point.
So for this, for the FC, did they reach out to you? Or like, yeah.
Kind of a funny story.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Like, it's one of those things where like I think everything happens for a reason. So kind of the year was wrapping up last year, and like I said, learned a lot. So it was kind of like start open to kind of anything. A couple of people started reaching out, and I was pretty far along with another opportunity, and actually reached out to someone I knew from Kansas City, and he happens to work with Bay now. And I knew he worked for the organization that I was talking with, and I wanted to pick his brain and be like, hey, what do you think? Like, what's going on here? Do you think this would be a good fit for me? And he was like, well, actually, I was about to reach out to you. Like, would you be interested in kind of coming out to the Bay? And I was like, well, kind of far along with this other like opportunity, don't really know. And then I was like thinking about it more, talking with more people there, knowing that he was going to be here, and like the kind of people, like the people that they were bringing in, I was like, okay, like this is kind of where I want to be. But it's one of those things where it was like, if I didn't reach out to him, like who knows kind of where things could have gone, where I would be today. But really happy that everything kind of worked out the way that it did. But no, I didn't apply for any, like anything, wasn't actively like looking to find anything different. So
that's a good story. Good perspective on that. So you were very much a soccer person. You know, the reason that I brought you on at Kentucky, because you're a former soccer player in college. You had worked with, who were you with? Like you were at the Red Stars for a little bit before you got to Kentucky. So I knew you had that background, but currently we have a guy on our staff who's one of our coaching assistants named Jim Meyer, and he loves soccer as well. Has he reached out to you yet?
He has not. Nope.
Oh, okay. Well,
tell him. You're free.
He definitely will, because he has reached out to, I think, any and every person that he can find a connection with in the soccer world. Jim interned with Cincinnati FC, or FC Cincinnati, I forget which way it goes, but he interned with them before he came to Kentucky. He's helping, which is now Courtney Adams, our soccer strength coach. He's helping her out a ton. You'd love him. Great guy, great personality, great energy, but is able to connect the dots a lot with the strength conditioning side and his knowledge in soccer. So he'll definitely reach out to you soon, and then you guys can chat. I do know you will be coming to Louisville on June 29th. That's a Saturday. So I'm going to put it on my calendar, because I missed you the last time that you were in Kentucky for a match because I didn't put it on my calendar. So I'm going to do that as soon as we get off here.
Sounds good. I'll reach out before we head out there too and try to set something up, find some time. And...
yeah. That's going to be a heck of a trip for you guys.
Yeah.
You guys go...
not exactly easy to get to either.
No, but you guys you play Orlando like the Pride, right?
Yeah. That's going to be a long flight too. That one's in May. We're going to DC next week. So
a lot of traveling.
Things about Kansas City. It was like everything's central.
Yeah. So let's finish on this. So you've gone from Rhode Island, Delaware, Kentucky, Kansas City. Now you're in California. What are some of the learning lessons you've learned along the way?
Kind of like I mentioned a little bit earlier, I think like last year was a big learning opportunity for me just in terms of like what is important to me and what is not negotiable, like what I need to have to be happy and kind of be at my best. I told you when I interviewed, like I wanted to get back into pro soccer eventually. And so I think like when the opportunity with the current popped up, it was like, yeah, professionally, this is where I want to be. Like, I think it's a really good opportunity. And I think professionally that was, but I think like I learned that there's a lot more than just kind of professional opportunities that go into kind of you as a person. And like, there were times I was like, what was I doing leaving Kentucky? I was happy there. There were a lot of good people there. Like Lexington was great. Like, the grass isn't always kind of greener, but you don't know what you don't know when these opportunities pop up. So I think for me, like some of my non-negotiables, I was also thinking back and they line up a lot of kind of like with the who we are that you kind of send out and emphasize kind of pretty much every day in terms of like being high energy, being positive, like being forward thinkers. I think like communication is huge for me, just being open and honest and transparent with that as much as possible. I think that's a big one. Character, integrity, just having respect. Like, we don't all have to hang out outside of work. We don't have to be friends outside of work. But like, when we're at work, we need to value and respect and feel like everyone has a voice at the table. And then, like I said, being positive. It just creates such a different environment when like people are excited to come to work and look forward to being with each other. But I think like communication and respect and valuing people are like two that like top of the list, like those have got to be in place for me to be, happy and in a good spot professionally, personally, kind of whatever the case may be. So I think those are kind of like, I did a lot of reflecting last year in terms of, what my non-negotiables really are. And that might've been a different kind of conversation than what I had said in staff meeting. I think it was like value and respect, but I think like there was a new light to seeing kind of that in action, kind of across looking back at where all the places I've been, like that's when I'm at my best. Hopefully that all makes sense in that long-winded answer, but I think across the way, like, yeah, professionally you learn a lot wherever you go, just with different roles and different people that you work with and different responsibilities you may have. But at the end of the day, I think for me, communication and respect are like the biggest things that like those for me got to be there.
Would you do anything differently, as you moved out of college athletics into the professional sector? Would you have asked different questions or anything like that during the interview process?
Probably what those questions are, I don't know if I necessarily like know off the top of my head, but I think for me, it's when you get to like a certain level, like everyone knows what they're doing. Everyone's pretty much good at their job. There's a certain base level of knowledge you have to have to get here. I think what the next level is, and I think Bay is like, I will say has done a great job of this, is like, what are the people that you're doing? Like, let's make sure we have good people first, because everyone's got that basic knowledge, but like the people have to be there, the culture has to be there, and it makes such a difference. So I think like some of those, like culture gets thrown around as one of those like words that's just way overused, but I think like knowing like what people are going to fit and what you're trying to create, I would ask different questions from that standpoint, just making sure that like personally it's a good fit for me.
I think that's key. So you have to have good people. Even from our perspective, where we're going through our summer intern interviews now, where my entire thought process revolves around, like, when we get young strength coaches, I want young people that are probably not great strength coaches right now because they're young and they don't have the experience. But if they are a good person and they have high level of character and integrity, we can teach them how to be good strength coaches. We can tell them like, hey, you need to work on your coaching presence, or hey, maybe you need to work on your Olympic lifting technique so you can be a better coach. None of that matters unless we can start from the ground up, meaning that they have that high level of character and integrity. And I think you said it, and we must have talked about it after you left, but we ended up talking about culture a lot. In one of our staff meetings, it was one of our questions of the month where everybody, you know, sat down. Yeah. Those, I love those, but I think we were talking about culture and what it means, and people throw around the word culture a lot, which is fine as long as you define what your culture is. Yep. So with us at Kentucky, specifically in our strength and conditioning department, our culture has to be rooted in our character and our integrity. And even if nobody is around, nobody's going to see you make this decision, you have to make the decision that is going to be the best for our department and the people around you. And if you don't have that, you really can't hang your hat on much of anything.
No, for me, like, I think these must have come from when I was like an intern somewhere, but like the two big things that always go through my head: be a good person, do the right thing. Like, if you don't have that, then like you said, you can teach people to do a lot of things. Like, you can grow into your presence as a strength coach. You can become a better Olympic lifter. But if like the base of like, be a good person, do the right thing, even when no one is there, aren't there, then like you said, like that's when you run into problems.
It's definitely something you have to practice. It's definitely something that has to be on the forefront of your mind, because it is extremely easy when nobody's around to make that decision to be like, I'll just do it this way, nobody else will know. Yep. And even as a father, it's even more on my mind now, because each decision I make, it's unbelievable the amount of details my boys pay attention to. That if I decide to do this instead of that, and maybe what I did wasn't the best decision, they're going to see it. They bring it up. They ask questions. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, he smokes. I just set a terrible example for them. And sometimes it's not the most serious thing, but it's little things that can build up. But if I can do the right thing when nobody's watching, even with the little stuff, that's going to make a huge difference in the long run.
And it adds up, like even those little things, doing the right thing when no one's watching, like it becomes easier to program yourself to do the right thing without even thinking about it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Gabby. Well, this was awesome. I appreciate you coming on this episode. And that is our episode for today. Thank you so much for listening. Like always, if you have any feedback or questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us at ukstrength@uky.edu. Thanks, and go Cats.